Today we culminate the greatest story ever told. And I would like to bring you to the whole liturgy of the church, especially the liturgy of the word of the church, when we started Advent. There are four Sundays of Advent. And then, if you notice it, on the third Sunday of Advent, after the Gaudete Sunday, specifically on December 17, the church enters into the second part of Advent, which is preparing Christmas for the coming of Jesus in his nativity, Christmas. But previous to that, there is also a preparation, the coming of Jesus. But if you were keenly following the Gospels and the readings from the first Sunday of Advent up to the third Sunday of Advent up to December 17, it was a different kind of coming. John the Baptist was crying out in the wilderness, saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path." But remember, John the Baptist was already on his 30. He was on his 30s, because he was, as we said, 6 months older than Jesus. You seem not to agree. Yes, he is 6 months older than Jesus. Because remember, in the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel told Mary that your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months, whom they say was barren, but now she is pregnant. So John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus. So that, prepare the way of the Lord, Advent means coming. The first part of Advent was the coming of Jesus as he starts his public ministry. Okay? So that the whole liturgy of the word from the first Sunday of Advent up to December 16, which is normally the third after the third Sunday of Advent, is preparation for the coming of Jesus as he starts his public ministry. And that is why John was proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then the second part of Advent. And from December 17 up to today, we culminate today and tomorrow, all the readings is preparing us for the coming of Jesus in Nazareth, for the birth of Jesus. That is why immediately you will see from December 17, the genealogy, the ancestry of Jesus. And then December 18, you read the dream of Joseph. Joseph, hearing that Mary has conceived, wanted to divorce Mary. But then, through a dream, an angel told Joseph, "Joseph, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary, for the child in her womb is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit." And then there's the first annunciation, the annunciation of the birth of John the Baptist, the second annunciation, the annunciation of Jesus. And then there is the birth of John the Baptist, and now we are in the birth of Jesus. The culmination of the greatest story ever told. In fact, we say it's the greatest story in the universe. But look at how the story is told. When the child was born in Bethlehem, the first to hear the great news were shepherds, people who are insignificant during that time, not important in society, but yet, in God's eyes, they were so important. Because God sees the heart of men. And God sees the Savior. These men have the heart to welcome the Savior. They are prepared to welcome the Savior. So that when the angel said to them, "Go to Bethlehem and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes." And they started singing, "Glory to God in the highest." How important is that story to us? It is so important because it fulfills what the prophets have told before. That the message of God, that this Messiah will be proclaiming the good news to the poor, the anawim. Not only the poor literally, but the anawim, the poor in spirit. Those who seek God, those who long for God, but those who are open to receive God. And here comes the story of Mary and Joseph. Because there was a census, they went to Bethlehem, the city of David, because Joseph was also in the lineage of David. You will find that in the genealogy. There are 14 generations from Abraham to David. David to Babylon. Babylon until the time... From Abraham to David, David to Babylon, Babylon to the time of Jesus. So that Jesus is in the lineage of David. And that is why Joseph had to bring Mary to Bethlehem. Because this is the place where the ancestry of Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, belongs. But when they were in Bethlehem, everyone was going to Bethlehem. Who have their from Bethlehem, those who have ancestry in Bethlehem, were going to Bethlehem to have their names listed in the census. So that there was no room in the inn. And I can imagine Joseph and Mary going through houses, knocking on the doors. "Do you have a space for us? My wife is pregnant. She's about to give birth. Do you have a space for us? Only for the night. Please." And everybody was saying, "I'm sorry, we're full. I'm sorry, we have no room." Jesus is coming. We ask ourselves, if God is knocking on our door, on our hearts right now, do we have room for Jesus? Will we allow Jesus to stay? Will we allow the Holy Family to stay and allow Mary to give birth into our hearts? That is the message of Christmas. That the greatest gift of God, the Son of God, the Emmanuel, Jesus is with us, is knocking on our hearts, wanting to have a room where he can be born, where he can find a manger. And God is so simple. As seen in the story of Bethlehem, Jesus and his family ended in a manger. So that do not be afraid. When you say that my heart is not prepared, my heart is not luxurious enough for God, my heart does not have the riches for God, my heart does not have the wealth for God, the heart is looking in the hearts of men, is the spirit of the heart, the anawim, the poverty of the heart. And the more that heart is pure, simple, the easier for Mary to give birth to Jesus in that heart. Brothers and sisters, today there is a great news. This news has brought joy to the world. And that news is that Jesus is born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But now, He wants to be born in our hearts. He wants to be part of our life and to journey with us as we start another year. Merry Christmas to everyone, and may you find the heart to open Jesus or to receive the Holy Family into your hearts and allow Jesus to be born in that heart this Christmas. Please all stand.